Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to the second day of our August lessons with your panelists,
Bill,
Lois,
and Campbell,
and Doris.
All right, everybody, we are on day two of our education article, Boat Building School. You can find it on pages 10, 11, and 12 in your advanced magazine, and we're up there near Doris's home.
Well, yeah, it's kind of near where I was born, outside of Seattle, across the water on Puget Sound, a little place called Brownsville.
Brownsville. Going to have to check it out, Doris.
Yeah, right near Bremerton, a big city. But it's over there on that Olympic Peninsula side, and it's a beautiful area over there. I got a little bit of salt water in my veins, I think. That means I love the ocean.
Mm. That's great.
You love the ocean, Lois.
Oh, I love the ocean, Doris. It just calms me down, and I just feel God's presence when I'm at the ocean.
The oceans, the mountains, the lakes, all of nature is great, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It is. I am more of a city boy. I do get a little seasick on
the ocean. New York City?
That's right. I am from New York City. But I do enjoy visiting the ocean from time to time.
Well, when you go back to the Northwest sometime, you're going to visit this Port Townsend and Port Ludlow and all these places?
Yeah, it sounds like a fantastic place to relax and just enjoy a lot of nature and what God's created.
Take your little daughter over there to go swimming in the salt water?
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, Puget Sound is nice water compared to on the East Coast because they have this Japanese current running through there, they call it, and that's warmer water. That's why we don't get quite as much cold weather as you do because of the Japanese current. So it's kind of a nice place to go in the ocean, I think.
Yeah, yeah, except not in January.
Not in January, no. Well, of course, that's one thing about Asia. We have places in the Philippines and Malaysia, and you can go all year round. And that salt water is pretty nice, too.
It sure is. Nice color, too.
But we better get back to the Northwest now, Bill.
Yes, and it's a great place to explore, to relax, Doris, and we're finding out here in this article that we can combine vacation with education because, and actually we call these education vacations where people can go spend a week or two and not only have fun but also learn something.
So we're talking about this Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building, but also where it is, where all these little ports, Port Townsend, Port Haddock, all these places are. And we found out that this school has about 35 to 50 full-time students in long-term studies. I guess those people must be really going into the boat building business, do you think?
Well, these are people who are, I think, pretty serious about it. They want to make this their livelihood.
Uh-huh. Right.
The people that are going to be the full-time students, they're going to be working and earning their living there. But they also have, at this school, they have available shorter courses available.
Right. So this is what we would call a trade school where people go to learn a trade. And here we're talking about boat building. But they also have shorter courses, as Bill was saying, where people can go for a day or a weekend or a couple of weeks and they can learn how to take care of boats and build boats.
So today we're going to find out more about the students that go there, where they're from and why they go there. We had two good examples yesterday, didn't we, Lois?
Yes, we did. We had actually a college instructor from Burnaby, British Columbia, who was there. And we also had people from other areas that had come from not too far from the communities.
Kathy Leal, right.
That's right.
Good. Okay, well, let's find out more about the other students, where they're from and what they do there as we open now to page 11 of today's lesson. And we'll read the first section through line 21.
A third of the school's students come from within 300 miles of Puget Sound. Others have come from all over the United States, plus Japan, Scotland, South Korea, and beyond. Here's an Air Force colonel working next to our young student from Japan, Lienhouts told me recently, as we toured a busy workshop where students clustered around the steam-bent planks of a 14-foot Davis boat, a design from the island community of Metlakatla, Alaska. The shop was like a sensory chamber for woodworking obsessives. The spice of red cedar mingled with the tangy smell of teak oil, while the rhythm of hand planes got backup from a power saw.
It's not surprising that a third of the students come from that area within 300 miles of Puget Sound. Now remember, Puget Sound is full of islands and all kinds of ports, and it's a very interesting area. Mm-hmm. And, of course, most of the students would probably go there because they have a lot of boats, and they need
exactly.
to know how to get them fixed, don't they?
That's right. The
maintenance.
That's right. So you would have students that live on the coast of North America there, whether they be from the United States or Canada, coming to this course for sure, Doris.
But what about the other people then?
Well, we find out that others come from all over the United States, but also from abroad. So we see Japan, Scotland, South Korea here, and beyond, which
you know, Japan, South Korea, they're over here in Asia. But Scotland, it's interesting that people from Scotland mm-hmm. would go there.
Yeah, you know, my experience in Scotland is people are very good with the trades, and they also are right surrounded basically with ocean, except at the south part of the country. And they also love the sea.
That's right. So it's not surprising, you know, that they would come from all those different places. Isn't that right?
Well, I think what they're doing is they want to learn maybe the latest techniques for boat building and repair, and also maybe just learn different ideas. People in Scotland build boats one way. People in South Korea build another way. And so it always helps to get as much knowledge as possible.
Well, and, you know, probably the people from Scotland have relatives over there because almost everybody's got relatives in all different parts of the United States. So they go and see their relatives, have a little weekend vacation doing the boat building. You could include it in your vacation, Bill.
I would like to do that as far as, you know, it's a great idea, combining vacation with learning something.
That's right. And that's what we're talking about here. And they tell us here about an Air Force colonel, and he was working right next to this young student from Japan.
That's right. So they're taking a tour of this busy workshop. They see some students, and Lean Houts, who we learned about yesterday, he's the owner of this school. He was pointing out that they had students. He had an Air Force colonel next to a student from Japan.
He's a director. I don't know if he's the owner, but at least he's the director of the school. We found out about him yesterday.
Right, and what he's doing here, he's just pointing out the diversity of the students that they have there studying with them.
Right. Can you imagine somebody from the island community way up there in Alaska? That sounds like a very Alaskan name to me.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we see that it's Metlakatla, Alaska.
Bill, you did a good job on
Metlakatla.
That.
Metlakatla.
Okay.
What they're doing is they're walking around this busy workshop, and what they were doing, we see students clustered or gathered around. Just imagine a group of maybe 5 or 10 students gathered around the steam-bent planks of a 14-foot Davis boat.
Mm, that's so really interesting.
It's kind of fun to see that in the photo here.
Yeah, because as our readers can tell by the pictures, all the wood on the inside or outside of these wood boats have to be bent. Mm. There's no straight pieces of wood. They have to be bent.
So you see the photos here. One's working indoors. The other one shows the boat outside that's being pulled up so they could do the bottom part and the varnishing and things, right?
Yeah, and it's really something to imagine. That is a time-consuming, labor-intensive process to steam bend planks or the pieces of wood, the long pieces of wood, to make the shape of the boat. So
maybe they'll get
very
robots. Maybe robots will do that in the future.
Maybe.
Maybe.
High skill. I kind of hope not.
But anyway.
This design comes specifically from this one community up in Alaska, which is going to be with part of the people that are native to that region.
That's true.
Have a special skill, a special design to the boat.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people really like this, especially working indoors there. It says this shop is like a sensory chamber for woodworking obsessives. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of a very advanced phrase there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see a sensory chamber.
Well, a sensory chamber here, we're talking about a room that really stimulates the senses. So
smell?
Yeah. Here we're specifically talking about the sense of smell. So whenever you think of a woodworking workshop, you smell the different kinds of wood.
Yeah, especially the tangy smell of teak oil. That has a nice smell to it.
Mm-hmm, it does. And some of our students might have already smelt that because there's so much teak in Southeast Asia.
There is.
So if you go to some of the furniture stores or furniture manufacturing, and like, let's say, Indonesia, you will smell this smell.
Oh, Malaysia, all kinds of places, right.
Yeah, I just want to go back up to that obsessive term,
right,
Doris.
What about the working obsessives? Who are they, Bill?
It's not a term. Okay, obsessive in this form is a noun. We're describing people. We're calling them obsessives. We normally see the word obsessive as an adjective. When you are obsessive, that means you can't live without something. You are just so occupied with one thing. It is the entire central focus of your life. We're just turning that into a noun here.
Right. Well, you know, Bill, what they often would say for people like that, they would say woodworking buffs, B-U-F-F-S. A buff is somebody who's really a fan.
Yeah.
Of, you know, would you say that?
Yeah, I'm thinking this might apply to Bill for some of the sports teams he's always cheering on.
Yeah, I'm a little obsessive about
that. Yeah, he's a little bit obsessive about that.
He's a little bit.
Single-minded about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So people will really like that, okay? But this, the spice of the red cedar, and a red cedar has a nice smell to it, too, you know?
Mm,
and mixed in with all this kind of thing, it really makes it feel like, wow, I'm in a place that's building boats. They have that feel of it. And then this very smell of the teak oil, and then the rhythm of the hand planes. Now, what are these things?
Okay, a hand plane. I'm going to explain that to you. Actually, I have one.
You do?
It's an antique one from my husband's, let me get this correct, great-grandfather.
Really?
Really. And so what you do is you have to have a piece of wood that isn't quite flat or quite even. And you have to get it just perfect because it has a place it has to fit and there can't be any gap or space. So you take this plane that has a blade on it.
What is a plane? It's
a
like
plane.
It's a tool.
It's a tool. That's right. It's a tool. And you shave down the wood and make it smooth with this tool that has a very sharp blade on it.
Yeah, you know, carpenters, they always use these planes, don't they?
Yeah, and it's something they can, instead of sanding, this is a little bit more, you know, more effective tool where you're actually carving off a little piece of wood
so
each time.
So the plane is actually a verb too, isn't it? To plane something.
You can plane something. Yeah. That can be a verb right here.
But the tool's
a noun. As a tool.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting. The writer here is describing this, the smells, but then turns it into almost like a concert that he is describing, the rhythm of hand planes going back and forth. And then a power saw
here.
In the background.
It's his backup player.
Yeah, the backup. Yeah, I like how he described it as they got the backup from a power saw. You know, we talk about backup singers who sing behind the lead singer. So here the power saw, is, you know, the that sound is backing up the that back.
You haven't convinced me yet, though. But I think I still do the scuba diving. Okay? Right.
But, you know, I do have to agree, the writing of this
good,
paragraph is
this
really good.
Appreciates it. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, let's see about the after-school opportunities. Now, that's enough of the school for a while. Let's look at the after-school things you could do.
After-school opportunities. When lessons are over, other diversions aren't far. Across the street from the school's waterfront office is the Ajax Cafe, a longtime fixture in the 1890s era home of the town's founder, Samuel Hadluck. I dined on herb-coated chicken, washed down by aged cider from nearby Finn River Cidery. Port Hadluck isn't the quaint Victorian seaport of Port Townsend. Rather than a lot of galleries and boutiques, there's Big Pig Thrift Store and a propane depot. Beyond the Ajax, prominent eateries include Zug's Caveman Cookin'.
Well, this part sounds kind of interesting. You know, when the lessons are over, then what do you do? There are diversions. There are things that take you away from your hard work you've been just doing. Diversion is just something that gives you another outside interest, right?
Yeah, an outlet for doing something else, not
what
just working your hands all the time.
What can you do?
Well, we learned that across the street from the school's waterfront office is a cafe, the Ajax Cafe, a longtime fixture in the 1890s era home of the town's founder. So this cafe has been there for a long time.
Okay, it's a really a long time fixture. Just means it's kind of a landmark, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Been there forever.
It's been there for a long time. You'll notice this too, that this place, this Port Haddock, is named after Samuel Hadlock.
Hadlock, yeah.
Yeah, so he is the town's founder, Samuel Hadlock. And then
How come there's no Brome Village over there, huh? Not named after me? That's too bad.
Because you didn't start it.
You didn't, yeah, that's right.
You didn't found it. You founded Studio Classroom.
Okay.
That's why we have...
You know, they name things after people.
You can still do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
really,
no, that's okay, Bill. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, people name these towns after somebody that lived there or something.
Yeah, Port Hadlock and Samuel Hadlock.
Yeah, they're named after people and explorers, and Seattle is named after Chief Seattle, you know? So they're all named after people, aren't they? Yeah.
How about here? Maybe in Taiwan, we can have Bromeville.
Well, that's okay. You know, that's fine.
Well,
where everybody speaks English.
Yeah, well, that would be good.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Okay,
but we're getting off of this after-school opportunities, you guys. You're getting carried away here. I know it's August, you know. But you not only go to this beautiful cafe, it's a place that everybody knows. It's a landmark. But what kind of food did they serve there?
Oh, sounds good to me. Herb-coated chicken and washed down by aged cider. Now, ciders is a drink that you can either have alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
I could prefer to think of apple cider.
Which yeah, is well, the apple cider is pretty good, Doris.
And herbs, of course, are just herbs are all kinds of
seasonings
mm-hmm. that yeah, we flavor. Use herbs.
And maybe herbs from that part of Washington
it's
State.
It's interesting, but we don't usually use the H. We just pronounce it herb usually. What do you do in Canada?
Yeah.
Do you call it herbs?
Both. Herb and herb, it's both acceptable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You'll hear
in America, we call them herbs, don't
that's
we?
Right.
I don't know
I like
why the H is on there. You should take it off. But, you know, that's the trouble with spelling.
Yeah. It often will be silent. Now, we see here, you know, even though they are there in the same area, Port Townsend and Port Hadlock are different. We see in line 29 that the writer says, Port Hadlock isn't the quaint Victorian seaport of Port Townsend.
So why,
and there's a reason
like
he writes
then?
This.
Why?
Well, all right, now when we think of quaint and Victorian, we think of, all right, everything's neat and tidy and nice, very attractive. Victorian is going, the buildings are going to have a certain style to
them.
Well,
they look like that kind of thing they have in England. The Victorian is a style of architecture.
Yeah, exactly, from that part of the world.
From that part of the world.
More touristy, I would say. Port Townsend is a more touristy town than Port Hadlock is. That is what the writer is getting at. And he goes on to say, rather than a lot of galleries and boutiques, you know, a lot of little places and for people to shop, which Port Townsend has, Port Hadlock has some other things.
They're pretty funny.
A little bit down to earth, I might say.
What do they have?
They have the Big Pig Thrift Store, the propane depot.
I bet they have a picture on the outside of a big pig somehow or other, you know, painting or something, you think?
Yeah. I think something comical, Doris. I agree with you.
And what about a propane depot?
Well, people need to go there. For one thing, they might have a propane tank on their boat, on their trailer, or at their barbecue. So they need to fill it up.
Propane gas, right?
Yeah, with natural gas, propane, or propane gas or natural gas. And so these are all just very normal things people find everywhere, like hardware stores and stuff.
They're funny names, Bill.
They are funny. They're funny names, the Big Pig Thrift Store. But we also – we find out that beyond the Ajax, that is the cafe that we read about a couple of paragraphs up, there are some other places to eat. Prominent eateries include Zoog's Caveman Cooking.
So prominent just means noticeable, very noticeable. And I think they might have a big – kind of a picture of a caveman out there called Zoog's Caveman Cooking, and they left the G off. They mean cooking, but just to say it sort of a little bit slangy,
a little bit slang.
You know.
A little casual.
A little casual.
Don't have to wear your shoes. No, I'm just
maybe not.
Your shoes.
Bill, well, I don't know, Caveman Cooking. You know?
Caveman Cafe, yeah.
Caveman Cooking.
Wear your leather suits when you go over there, right?
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds like I bet they have a lot of big things like, you know, food that would have a lot of meat and stuff in it. Do you think so?
Yeah, they probably have a lot of meat.
Arr, real manly menu.
Okay.
Lots of potatoes.
Caveman's cafe,
I'm telling
you. They
hunted for it right before they cooked
There's no quiche there at the
So it sounds to me, you know, when I look at this, they're talking about Port Townsend as being more a Victorian and more of a British style.
Yes, but we find out that Port Hadlock is more the opposite of that. It's more of a country style place.
Big Pig Thrift Store. Sounds more casual to me. Yep.
Sure does. I think we got to go find us and hunt us some bargains, Doris.
Right. So be sure that you visit these different places if you go up there. And there's probably more to do. So let's finish reading today's part.
There's plenty more to do and see nearby, especially if you're a hiker, birder, or kayaker. About a half mile east on Oak Bay Road, turn toward Indian Island and cross the bridge over the man-made canal that serves as a boater's shortcut to Port Townsend. On the road's north side, Indian Island is a securely fenced naval munitions depot. Don't even think about trespassing. But on your right, over the next couple miles, is Jefferson County's Indian Island Park, with beach access points linked by marvelous water view trails that traverse wooded hillsides and drop down by lagoons and pretty Oak Bay.
So if you go up to that area, of course you might want to just go and look at this boat building school, even if you don't go there, but there is plenty more to do.
That's right. Let's go for a hike. Let's look at the birds. Let's go for a kayak. So you can be a hiker,
what if you're
a
hiker,
or a kayaker.
Couldn't you be a hiker and a birder at the same time?
At the same time. I think that's a great idea, and you could get to the island you're going to hike on by your kayak.
Wow, sounds complicated. Well, I mean, it sounds like a place that is, if you're an outdoor enthusiast, this sounds like the place for you. If you enjoy hiking and going bird watching or being on the water in a kayak, this would be the perfect place.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you go to this place called Indian Island, it says you have to cross the bridge over the man-made canal that serves as a boater's shortcut to Port Townsend.
Yes, the writer is just describing this area. If you look at Indian Island and you look at the map, you can see there's a very narrow passage there, a waterway, that actually is a man-made canal. And so the writer is describing, okay, you go on this Oak Bay Road and turn toward Indian Island. There's a bridge that goes over this man-made canal. There are several canals like this in this part.
Lots of them, right.
Of this area
Lots
around
of bridges
Seattle.
That go, mm-hmm.
And it's designed to make shortcuts
right.
for people. So that's what a man-made canal is here. It really serves as a shortcut. Mm-hmm.
And
save
the shortcut's
time.
Good because if there's a bridge over there, it's easier. If you have to take the ferry, it costs you more money. And you drive your car, just go across a bridge. It's a lot easier. You can go whenever you want. You don't have to wait for the boat schedule. So there's a lot of places like that where you cross over, as you said, Bill.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is just, he's describing how you get over then there to Indian Island, and that's where we pick up in this next paragraph on line 7.
That's true. And, of course, if you go to Indian Island, on the road's north side, you better just not go to the north side. Because this reminds me of Bremerton, which is a port in World War II. It was a very important place, Bremerton and the shipbuilding and ships going out to Asia. But now, and this, they also have to have a place where they get their munitions, where they get the things to do with the, when they're going out to war, and they have a munitions factory. Mm-hmm. What do they have there, Bill?
Well, munitions, those are like the bombs and guns and things that are used during war. So the U.S. Navy has got this very securely fenced area where they keep these bombs and guns. So
a depot.
You mm-hmm. don't want to – yeah, we call it a depot, and there's going to be a lot of officers and naval
Wire
people
fences,
there protecting
yeah.
this. So that's
Electric
why he
fences,
says
right?
don't even think about it.
Yeah, and there's lots of cameras. I can guarantee
yeah.
you that.
Okay, so don't go north.
So that's not the tourist part.
So don't go that way.
No, that's not the tourist part. Trespassing is a word. Trespass. Yeah. To trespass means for you to walk sure. onto or cross over into an area that you are forbidden from going.
So mm-hmm. that's just one part of it. But if you turn to the right, what do you see?
Okay, over the next couple of miles, you see a nice park, and it's called
It's in Jefferson County, and it's called Indian Island Park. And that's a safer place, folks. So let's go there.
Right.
It has beach access points. So for us folks who don't want to perhaps get out on the water, you can enjoy being on the beach and perhaps having a picnic or a bonfire or something like that.
That's true with a lot of those places. I think we talked about Orcas Island before and all those places, and you can actually do that. Go down to the beach access, where you can go right down to the beach. You're up on a trail walking around to go down to the beach, and a beautiful view of these trails that you can go around, traverse these wooded hillsides, go around there and drop down to the lagoons and pretty Oak Bay. Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful way to spend your time there. And I think that's what Dale Simonson did, as far as – we met Dale Simonson yesterday. He spent a couple of weeks camping in the area and going to the boat building school. So sounds like a great way to spend 2 weeks, learn about boat building and spend your time hiking on the hillsides and down by the ocean.
So you won't be bored if you're out in the countryside. Don't think about just sitting there with nothing to do. There's plenty to do. Go to lagoons. Go on the trails. Go down to the beach. Oh, lots to do.
Exactly. Instead of spending an afternoon in the gym, spend an afternoon hiking and boating and get that exercise you need.
Well, this is great, Doris, learning about not only the school but the area around there, particularly the Port Haddock and Indian Island area. So come on back, all of our listeners, tomorrow, and we will learn a little bit more about some of the scenery.
So we'll see you all then. We'll be back here at the same time. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.